Blog Talk Radio.
Red ring around the moon, mean troubles coming soon, like a freight train, and it's headed straight for me. Iron horse racing down the line, I just can't move in time. It's gunning for me, and I don't know what to see. Jay tried to stop before, today is different though. I'd be your saving grace this time. I've been trying to hold on tight and not give up the fight, but I'm doing all the work and I know it ain't right. Oh, you push me as an easy way out, and what I work so hard to keep, I cried you my tears and you showed me down. I gotta beg you just to believe.
Trump is making me a hypocrite, by Mark Salter. I've always distrusted people who never question their assumptions or test their opinions against their critics' arguments. I believe empathy is the starting point of wisdom, and imagining things from an opponent's point of view is essential to solving problems in a closely divided polity. And on the subject of Donald Trump, my mind is closed, slammed shut, triple bolted, sealed like a tomb. Nothing anyone could reveal about Trump would get me to change my opinion that he's an asshole. And not a yeah, but he's our asshole kind, but a cartoon villain, a fake, a cheat, a liar, a creep, bullying, bragging, bullshitting, blowhard kind of asshole. There have been lots of candidates in the past I've disagreed with, even loathed. But there's only one I want to punch in the face as he's doing his pursed lips, chin-tilting El Duce impersonations. I grew up in Iowa, where people are widely admired for their courtesy, generosity, and modesty, for their un-Trumpness. Iowa was the first state to offer a new home and resettlement assistance to Vietnamese boat people. It welcomed refugees from other war-torn, oppressed countries. Until the terrorist attacks in Paris, 800 more were expected to arrive in Iowa this year. Most Iowans of my acquaintance are just good people. Yet for months, the xenophobic bigot has been leading most polls and nationally with his acolyte Ted Cruz in hot pursuit. I don't believe them. I think they inflate his support. I can't imagine how Trump would appeal to more than a dissatisfied few who are resentful, misinformed, and misled, but unlikely to have to go to the trouble of participating in the caucus. Mostly, I don't believe the polls. I don't want to believe Iowans or their decent people could choose Trump for president. If you regard honesty and humility as virtues, which I think most Iowans do, his ridiculous boasts demand derision. He's the business genius who brags about screwing his investors and who's declared bankruptcy as often as some people overdraw their checking account. He sports the world's silliest comb over and makes fun of other people's looks. He's a tough guy who never served in the military, never risked his life or his interest for anyone but himself, and disparaged the service of a decorated veteran. He promises to make America great again and rejects the ideals and decency that made us great in the first place. Trump isn't a fascist. He says stupid, offensive things, seems unaware we have a Bill of Rights, and surrounds himself with aides who appear to have graduated first in their class at the Baghdad Bob School of Awesome Ass Kissing. Fascism is an ideology. Self-aggrandizement isn't. But he does preach resentment and hostility toward others. The mythical dancing Muslims of Jersey City, the Mexican day laborers pillaging our culture and raping our women. He incites people, fellow citizens and aspiring citizens outside the protection of our Constitution and the norms of a just society. He isn't a terrorist either, but his crude populism with his scapegoats and simple answers appeals to the worst in people. Intent on offending every Muslim on earth, he makes him an ally of the terrorists. My daughter thinks I'm paying Trump a compliment by taking him seriously. To her cohort raised in the age of reality TV and internet's infinite store of human folly, Trump is just a joke gone viral without being very funny. It happens. There's always a market for crudeness and bad taste. But Trump is bringing out the worst in me, too. In my contempt, I'm channeling Trump, slinging insults, scorn not at him alone, but also at the people who support him, who applaud his pretensions, share his slurs, not in agreement with his asinine ideas. I belittle their intelligence. I've stopped trying to understand their point of view. I'm treating them as the other, undeserving of my respect. Some Trump fans are likely as boorish as their candidate. But what explains people who support a man for president they wouldn't want as a friend or neighbor or coworker? Among them are people I know, some I've known for many years. They're salt of the earth, good people. I sit next to a woman at a basketball game the other day. We go to the same church, and our kids attend the same schools. She's a thoughtful, courteous, nice person. She told me she was supporting Trump. I was dumbfounded and asked her why. She gave me a version of the answer I've heard from other Trump supporters. The country's in such bad shape that we need someone like Trump, someone who will really shake things up. That's a sentiment I thought was a tendency in Latin American politics, not here. The preference in troubled times is for Padillo strong men to break rules, rule the people when everyone is too scared or too weak or corrupt to govern themselves. Are we in such dire straits we must dispense with civility, kindness, tolerance, and normal decency to put a mean-spirited, lying jerk in the White House? Are we not still the strongest, wealthiest, freest society on earth, with more opportunities for people than anywhere else? We fought the last presidential election mostly over 4% difference in the top marginal tax rate, not exactly an ideological battle for the ages. 4 years on, is the notion that the country's hope is so widespread that people are willing to throw in a towel by nominating for president someone who admires Vladimir Putin? I don't get it, and I've stopped trying. That's on me, and I'm sorry. I know how to appear to a lot of Trump supporters. I live in Washington. I used to work in the government. I'm not worried about losing my job. I'm not looking for answers or for someone else to be held accountable for my circumstances. But neither is my friend for the basketball game or other Trump supporters I know personally. The only explanation I can come up with is that they are giving up on, they've given up on America. The explanation I've given up on the country for no good reason. I know that's a failure of discernment and empathy on my part. Of course, were Trump to succumb to the rare bout of honesty, and he would confess he thinks we're all just suckers. I hope we are proved wrong. I really do, because right now that asshole is making us all look bad. Hold on, I got to put my code in so we can play another song. Here we go. It's Danielle Nicole, and Don't Think Twice, It's All Right.
When it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, if you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, babe, you'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, says, look out your window, babe, oh, and I'll be gone. You're the reason, Lord, I'm traveling on. Don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in turning on your life, babe. Light I never know. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, babe, 'cause I'm on the dark side of the road. See, I'm wishing there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind, say. Talking anyway. Don't think twice, it's all right. Oh, Lord, ooh, yeah. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, like you never done before. Oh, there ain't no use in calling, calling, calling out my name, 'cause I can't hear you anymore. See, I'm thinking and wondering, walking down a road that time. Don't think twice, it's all right. Oh, for you, just you wasted, wasted, wasted my precious time. Don't think twice.
Nicole, Danielle Nicole, don't think twice. It's all right. Here's a little article. Cecile Richard, president of Planned Parenthood, 58 years old, New York City. The same woman who's picketing your clinic one day finds out she needs Planned Parenthood the next, very next day. We've moved into an era where media, no one wants to wait for anything to be verified. I'll let the congressmen speak for themselves. If you really thought they cared about women's health, I'd care more about what they say. There are members of Congress who want women not just in their place anymore. Things were going pretty well for them over the past several hundred years. It all started when we chose to be able to decide when and whether we have children. Even people have mixed feelings about abortion, hate it when women are harassed into going into a health clinic or doctors. All it takes is one person who's unhinged. Yes, the shootings were just 3 days ago. I hope that anyone who uses that kind of heated talk is looking hard in the mirror this morning and thinking about the implications of their words and actions. But from what I've seen over the past few months, even prior to this tragedy, there has been unbelievable outpouring, particularly from young men and women who probably were just going about their day and either saw the five-hour Capitol Hill hearing or read some of the really crazy talk of candidates for president and realized, okay, this is something I actually now have to take a position on and be involved in. I can't get on the subway now without a young man stopping me and saying, I stand with Planned Parenthood. Have someone lie about you repeatedly on national TV. It can benefit them in the short term, but the short term doesn't last very long. It's been very tough for Republicans, I know, who support Planned Parenthood, but who now consistently vote against us because they don't want to be targeted by the far right of their party. They told me this. The videos were more what I'd call a long con. For years, we've had people pretending to be patients and undercover videotaping our staff. But this was a three-year effort, setting up a fake company, attending medical conferences, infiltrating the medical establishment. They weren't interested in actually uncovering wrongdoing. They were interested in creating wrongdoing. There's nothing new. 99 years ago, when Margaret Sanger and her sister opened the first health center, it wasn't a health center, really. They just provided pamphlets on how to prevent unintended pregnancy. 10 days later, undercover cops posing as a mother busted them and sent Margaret to jail, where, of course, she taught all her inmates about birth control. My mother, former Texas Governor Ann Richards, figured out midway through her life that she had one chance to make a difference. The answer is always yes, whatever it is. She's a woman who lived through many mistakes, and she would say if she were here today, just keep on moving and never look back. That, and boy, that has been tremendously important to me. Growing up, we just thought son of a bitch was like an adjective you use for most people. My dad was out on the front lines defending conscientious objectors to the Vietnam War. He was fighting for the rights of farm workers, doing things that were completely unpopular, standing on the side of things you believe in, particularly when they're unpopular, is incredibly empowering. I became an activist in college, and I thought when I left college, we're all supposed to keep doing what we were doing. And I found out all my classmates were going to law school, business school, or becoming shrinks like their parents. And I was like, wait, I thought we were supposed to be making social change. I became a labor organizer on the border, organizing garment workers. I went to Guatemala, learned Spanish, moved back to Texas, and tried to get into the labor movement, which is hard for someone who didn't come up through the ranks. The women I organized are the same women who count on Planned Parenthood. I remember living in Los Angeles, working with Central Americans who had come across the border to clean office buildings in downtown Los Angeles, just as for janitors. We began to organize. I said, look, you know you could lose your job. And they said, I could have lost everything just crossing the border to come here, so I'm ready for whatever. People have extraordinary courage. It's people who have the very least who have the most courage and the most generosity toward others. People who come to Planned Parenthood are not coming to make a political statement. They come because they need affordable health care, or maybe they found a lump in their breast and have nowhere else to go, or they badly need birth control and can't afford it. Went to Westlake High. I called the principal's office. I was calling the principal's office for wearing a black armband. Principal Tom Heston, whatever he may be, called me to the principal's office, wanted to know why I was wearing a black armband. I explained to him about the moratorium and the Vietnam War. He called my mom. His lucky day was that she wasn't at home when he called. We grew up listening to Odetta, Lead Belly, Ramblin', Jack Elliott, Wayne Oakes, Willie Nelson. We camped all over Central Texas, but we hung out around the campfire and sang music. My dad would think of nothing. Would we just put a canoe on top of the car and off we went. I mean, that was Texas liberals. Liberals hung out. Molly Ivins was always there, and that was really our growing up. But it was a pretty wonderful childhood. Okay, it's time for another song. Hold on, let me get my code back in. Okay, it's Danielle Nicole, and You Only Need Me When You're Down.
I saw you walking just the other day.
Our show for today. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, great night, wherever you are. See you next time. Bye.